is talking so many trials that we face. And I was going to have you turn to James chapter 4 and verse 14. And then if you would turn with me to Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, I just thought all those trials we just sang about, and each verse we are looking to Him on His throne, looking beyond all the trials and looking to His face. And it just reminded me of Acts chapter 7 and verse 59, Acts 7, 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And I was just thinking, how could he forgive them and all the trials he was facing? Well, if you look back in verse 55, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly," where? "Into heaven." You got all these people that hate you, and they're throwing stones at you. Can you just imagine the grimacing faces that are looking at you, the faces filled with hatred and their brows furled up at you, and just they detest Stephen. They hate him. But he's looking up steadfastly into heaven and saw what? The glory of God. And who? Jesus, standing on the right hand of God. I thought about that when we were just singing that song, just all the trials and the troubles of life, and that what keeps us going? We're looking beyond all the hatred, and we're focused on Jesus like Stephen. That goes along with Pastor Jeremy's message. And if we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, we can forgive anyone. Amen. It doesn't matter how much they hate us. Amen. Let's go back to James 4. What a song. Well, it got the tears going, and so now it's got my nose running. So, oh, amen. What a powerful song. James 4 and verse 14. And Dad, would you, whoops, he's in the senior. Brother Andrew, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? James 4, 14. "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life?" What is it? "It is even" what? "A vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." The title of the message is, "What is your life?" What is my life? It's like this morning, and maybe you looked out. I looked out across the way this morning, and there was the fog, the vapor out there. That is just like life. It's here for a moment, and then it vanishes away. So, if life is like that, and if life is so short, how are we going to use it? Now, yesterday we got at the park to set up for the park ministry, and As usual, I was behind schedule. I wanted to be all set up at 11, and then instead, I don't know exactly what time we got going, but I think it was about 5 after, and we were in the process of setting up, and a landscaping truck pulls in, and the guy's looking at the sod, walking around quickly, and so I went to intercept him, and he went the other way, but he come back, and I said, "Do you know what time the sprinklers are going to come on here?" Because I thought, new sod, maybe things have changed. And he said, 12 noon. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. In fact, I maybe even said that to him. And he said, is there a problem? And I said, well, I said, we're setting up for a service. And I said, usually we go an hour, hour and a half. And he said, oh, he says, I'm sorry, but I can't do anything about it. I says, I saw when we were working here the other day, it's set for 12, but he said, it's locked and I don't have the key to change the time. And so I said, well, we'll just cut it short. I said, we'll do the best we can. And so I told all the guys, I said, keep your messages short. I says, if we get through fast enough, we can always do the second part of our messages. I said to all the people singing, I said, keep it to two verses. And if we have time, we can always come back and sing more. But I said, let's see if we can at least get through. And so we got through. Everyone that was on the list to sing and to speak, we got through. And then it was like, okay, let's wait to pray. Someone said, should we wait to pray until we get everything up? So I said, okay, let's do that. And so we got everything packed away just nicely. And someone said, hey, the water's on, the sprinkler's on just in time. So I was just thanking the Lord. But that's like life, isn't it? Sometimes we may think we got a full hour, hour and a half, all afternoon. But we didn't have that much time. And I was just thanking the Lord that that man came along, because our equipment would have gotten wet when those sprinklers come on. So life is short. We never know how much opportunity we have. So what is your life? Well, we're looking at number one, and let's go to Psalm 139. Life. Life is a mission from God. Psalm 139. Life is not some haphazard accident. Our lives was not a mistake. Maybe we came into this world unexpected, but we were not a mistake. God knew all about it. And life is a mission from God. Every one of us are on a mission. Every one of us have a mission to accomplish. Psalm 139:13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. So many people say, oh, a baby in the womb is not a baby. It's just a fetus. It's just a blob of matter. It's not a person. And on they go. But Pastor Jeremy was just talking about going to a house to work on it. But that house is far from complete. He's just told us about crooked studs. We're talking about walls that are not covered inside. They're just running the wires and plumbing and everything. It's not done, and yet everyone would call it what? A house. Well, a baby is a baby, even though maybe all the construction is not done. The Bible says there in verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Now, there are probably blueprints to that house. I don't think you can build a house anymore without showing the building inspector a blueprint. You can't just say, well, I'm going to build a house such and such a size. And you can't do that. He needs to know what it's like. He wants to see if there's beams in there and if they're up to code. He wants to see if the windows are the code for fire escape and all kinds of things. He wants to see. Well, God has the divine blueprint, verse 16, for our lives. So a baby is a baby, even while under construction. So same as a house. So life is a mission from God. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. So every one of us are on a mission. Every one of us. The point is, number one under that is, what is our mission in life? What is our mission in life? Ephesians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by what? The will of God. To the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So life is a mission from God. But the question is, what is our mission? We can go by and see a house under construction. We can say that there's a house under construction. But we don't have the blueprint to it unless it's our house or unless we're the contractor. So, but in our lives, what is our mission? What is our purpose? The word apostle means a delegate, especially an ambassador of the gospel. Officially, a commissioner of Christ, an apostle. A messenger, one who is sent. It's from Strong's Concordance. So an apostle is technically a sent one. And in the scripture, an apostle is one who has seen Christ and is sent by Christ on a mission. So every life is precious to God. Every life is a mission for God. But the question is what is his mission for us? Well, Paul's mission was to be a missionary. If you hold your place here, let's look at Acts 13. Every life is a mission from God. What is our mission? What was Paul's mission? His mission was to be a missionary, Acts 13:2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and who? Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." See, God had a mission for them, and he was revealing it. You separate these two men, Barnabas and Saul would later be called Paul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. So these were the different places they began their missionary journeys. What is God's will for us? What is his mission? What is it? You know, when you are young, still at home and at a young age, part of your mission is school. Some of you like that. And some of you don't like that so much. Some of you like to work with your brain. Others like to work more with your hands. To each his own. But both are work. Look with me, please, in Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 12. Ecclesiastes 12, 12. "And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end. And much what? Study is a weariness of the flesh." It's using the brain can make you just as fatigued as using your hands or your legs or your back or whatever else. You can still be exhausted at the end of a day. And even though you might think, those of you in school, as you start soon again, you might think, "Wow, this is a full-time job. I don't have time for anything else." Well, it is a full plate many times, but there's something even more important, and the next verse tells us what it is. Verse 13. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." What does it say? "Fear God and what? Keep his commandments, for this is what? The whole duty of man." In verse 13, there's some italicized words. It says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this," then is italicized, and then it says the whole duty, and duty is italicized. Now, translators, the King James translators italicized words when they were trying to complete the thought. And any of you who have ever tried to translate from one language to another know that you can't always do word for word. Sometimes in Greek there will be one word and there will be five English words. In Spanish, In one of the gospel tracts that Pastor Jeremy and Sister Julie translated, I had to go down a font size because from English to Spanish, there were more words. And so I couldn't fit them all in that little tract. And so I had to reduce the size of the letters to squeeze it all in. And so, but so the word duty there is italicized word, but that's not a negative connotation. The focus of the verse 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The whole of our lives is to fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole. That's the mission. And then there will be some submissions below that. But the whole mission of our lives, the words repeated twice there, our whole life is to fear God and keep his commandments. And then we'll be ready to say, yes, sir, when there are other things to be done. Sometimes we don't recognize his voice unless that's our focus. Unless, like Stephen, when all the hatred is thrown, we may be tempted to turn aside and say, Lord, I can't do it. I just can't handle all the hatred. But if we're like Stephen, we're going to be able to forgive all those people who are hurling nasty words at us or bricks or bottles or whatever else they're throwing right now, boards. I was checking the weather out for the park ministry, and I was on a certain weather thing that they also have little video clips of interesting things. And one of them said, lightning strikes in blue sky. And they had a little video here. A lady just comes out on her porch, and you can just barely see to the left, just around the corner of her house, there's a tree. And you see the blue sky, and in a split second, lightning strikes. She jumps, and there are splinters of wood just flying everywhere by her. And she quick goes back in the house. And I'm just thinking, you know what? If she would have been standing out just a little further, she may have got some of those splinters in her eye or in the side of her head. I mean, some of them were big splinters. Just the ground was just strewn with splinters of wood. And she quickly went back inside, but it would have been too late. Now, the storm was, I forget how many miles. I don't know if it was 6 miles away. But over her was blue sky, but lightning still struck. And we've got to keep focused on the Lord. He is our protection. And so the whole of our lives is fearing God, keeping his commandments. That's what makes life meaningful. That's what makes life satisfying. Have you ever been chewing some gum or eating something and it just seemed to be tasteless after a while? Well, it's fearing God and keeping his commandments that keeps life satisfying. It gives us purpose. Notice with me in Colossians chapter 3. What is the whole of our lives? We're going to read a verse here, and the verse is true, but is the verse true of us? Colossians 3:3. For ye are dead, and your life is what? Hid with Christ in God. Is that true? Well, the verse is true, but is it true of us? Is our life hid in Christ? Verse 4. When Christ, who what? Is our life. Is that true? Well, the verse is true, but is this true of us? Is Christ our life? Is it? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Is Christ the whole of our lives? That's the whole duty of man. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. Is that what our whole life is about in truth? Look at Philippians 1, verse 20. Philippians 1, 20. The Bible says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified where? In my body. Is Christ magnified? Yes, He is, but is He in my body? Is He? Whether it be by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ. That verse is true, but is that true of us? I mean, what are our plans this week? What are you excited about? You may say, oh, I'm not excited about anything. I think Sunday nights are one of the hardest nights of the week for men. Because it's tomorrow, I got to go back to work. A lot of men would probably pray, Lord, please come on a Sunday night. Amen. So I don't have to go to work Monday. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That was Brother Westco's verse that he always wrote. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If Christ, though, is not our lives, then verse 20, it says back in verse 20 there again, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. If Christ is not the whole of our lives, then this is not going to be true of us when we stand before God. In other words, we will be ashamed. But if Christ is the whole of our lives, it says in nothing I shall be ashamed. Notice with me in Mark 8, chapter 38. Everything is so politically correct today. They're trying to knock down all these statues and trying to get rid of all the Confederate flags. And you know what? I wish all those people could have heard Pastor Jeremy's Sunday school lesson this morning, because you know what their problem is? It starts with a B. What is it? Bitterness. That's their problem. You know what? Their daddies and their granddaddies didn't demand that all Confederate flags be taken down. Their daddies and their granddaddies did not demand that all these statues be torn down. But, you know, I do think there is another picture. You know, I think these people that are tearing down all these statues ought to be prosecuted. They shouldn't be left free. And what they're doing is against the law. The law should come against them. But what I do understand is that we're seeing a picture. And that is, one day, every statue is going to come down. Every idol, every mountain, every hill is going to fall at the presence of who? Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so all these statues, you know, in the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., engraved in the marble, it says, in this temple, and it goes on with different words. And when we visited that, I thought, well, if this is a temple for the worship of Abraham Lincoln, I may be in here, but I am not worshiping him. He may be a beloved president, but they have him high and lifted up, that statue sitting, as it were, on a seat or a throne in the Lincoln Memorial. And then that when it calls it a temple, I'm thinking, okay, who designed this thing? Who chose the words that were engraved back there? Because if you're setting him up on a throne, you got the wrong one, amen? There's someone who emancipated us, but it's not Abraham Lincoln. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who set us free from our sin. He's the one and the only one that should be on a throne. Now, having said that, there's people that want to get rid of that memorial too. And one day that one's going to come down, but I am not advocating all the lawlessness going on today. It's just bitterness. And you know what? They can pull down all those statues they want. They can rip up all the flags and burn all the flags they want. And you know what? It's not going to help them. They're still going to be a bitter people walking around with a chip on their shoulder, just waiting for someone to knock it off. It's not going to help. So, what is our mission in life? Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. If we're going to fulfill that mission, we've got to spend time in the Word, don't we? We've got to see what our marching orders are. We've got to see. You know, sometimes on special missions, code names are used. When the Secret Service protects someone, they give these important people certain code names. When our military, when our special ops are going in to do some task, they always give it a code name. What is our code name? If we're on a mission from God, every one of us, our lives are a mission for God. And then what is our mission in specific? What is our code name? Ephesians 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the who? The saints which are at Ephesus. That is our code name. Are we fulfilling it, though? The word saint means sacred, pure, consecrated, holy. Sacred, pure, consecrated, holy. That's from Strong's Concordance. The Christians in Ephesus were called saints by the Apostle Paul. Now, a lot of people may recognize the term Christian. But what would happen if at work someone said to you, "Hey, St. Jim." Actually, Brother Neil Hayden, years ago, Brother Verberg, that was his code name for Brother Verberg. He would always come in. Brother Neil would come in with a big smile on his face, and when he would see Brother Verberg, he would say, "St. James, how's it going?" And that was his code word for Brother Verberg. But would anyone ever call us that? And if they did, would they have the foggiest idea of what it really means? I know the Catholics pray to their saints, their dead saints, which that prayer goes nowhere. But what does it mean? It means sacred, pure, consecrated, holy. Does that really describe us? What I found in my life that is sad is they call certain religious groups holiness groups. And the sad thing is I don't think I've ever heard Baptists called that. Maybe you have. But I don't think I have. But isn't that sad? Isn't it sad that Baptists are not referred to as a holiness group? It's kind of sad because maybe that tells as a whole where we are, not where we should be. 1 Peter 1:14. In other words, when we've been out playing ball and the men are dressed modestly and the ladies are dressed modestly, and little children come up and they say, "Are you Amish?" Isn't it sad that they don't come up and say, "Are you Baptist?" Well, it's never happened. More than once, people have come up and said, "Are you Amish?" I never remember anyone coming up to us and say, "Are you Baptist? I noticed you're dressed modestly. Are you Baptist?" That's sad, isn't it? Sad testimony. Because as saints, they should notice something different about us. 1 Peter 1:14. As obedient children, not what? Fashioning yourselves according to what? The former lust in what? Your ignorance. So I give these people the benefit of the doubt that they're dressing immodestly because I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that they're just doing it in ignorance. You know, you think of all the immoral crimes that go on, and then you see how people are dressed, and you think, what is wrong with them? On a certain mission field, missionaries come over to the mission field, and they end up putting a swimming pool behind their house, And one of the natives said, if something happens to that missionary's wife, don't they realize that they're the ones egging it on? That's what the national said. Don't they realize what they're doing? Well, obviously they were dressing very immodestly and they thought, well, seeing it's in the backyard, it's okay. But obviously that national could see from different vantage points. Listen, we shouldn't dress immodestly like in our ignorance, according to the former lust and your ignorance. Don't these people realize that when they dress that way, it's attracting the lust of people? Well, the Bible tells us, listen, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is what? Holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now, there's a way to swim modestly. Our family has gone to the Lake Michigan and at times find a secluded spot. But there's a way to dress modestly. But many people in this world don't. But look at 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Many times people say, you know what, the outward flesh, it doesn't matter. It's just what's on the inside counts. Well, the Bible tells us here both are important, the inside and the outside. If we're just putting on a show on the outside, then we're like Jesus talking, was said of the Pharisees. They're like graves which appear beautiful outwardly, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. So just to fix up the outside and have a dirty heart, a wicked mind, that's not going to do it. But on the other hand, to try to clean up by God's grace and through His blood the inside, if the inside is truly clean, the outside, the inside is going to detest filth on the outside. It's like, you know, we were at the park ministry yesterday and you know, I was sweating getting things loaded and sweating getting things unloaded and then sweating getting things loaded back again and or mowing the grass and getting grass clippings down the back of my shirt. And those are not nice feelings. I can remember being in construction work. Instead of styrofoam, we used to use something called Sellotex. It was a brown board. It was put on the outside of the house before you install the siding. And it was a very flexible, it was a combination of like tar and it looked like dirt. I mean, it was dirty brown. And I can remember so many times sawing that. It was a hot day. We were framing in a house. And I remember sawing out windows of that. And this brown dust filled the air. And it just stuck to you. Your flesh was sweating. And this brown dust just stuck. It went down your neck. And it was like the rest of the day, I didn't enjoy what was on the outside of me. On the inside, I couldn't wait to get in the shower and be clean. So that illustrates spiritually. Listen, if we are truly clean on the inside spiritually, we're never going to enjoy the outside when it's dirty. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, what? Glorify God. In what? Your body and in what? Your spirit, which are God. So it's both. Both. God wants us to glorify Him on the inside and the outside. So number one, our life is a mission from God. What is our mission in life? No one else can answer that question for you but God. He's the only one that can give you the marching orders, and He'll give them from His Word, and then circumstances conforming to His Word. But His Word first, and then he'll conform. His word said he'll be born in Bethlehem. Then circumstances helped guide the star. But the star didn't lead him to Bethlehem. The star got their attention, but they went to the wrong city. They went to Jerusalem. He wasn't born in Jerusalem. The word of God had to be consulted. It's Bethlehem. Now the star starts moving. And the same in our lives. God will direct us through his word, and then he will so move with circumstances to agree with his word. But, okay, so what is our mission in life number two? What title are we known as in life? Are we saints? Would anyone ever call us a saint? Number three, what consistency do we have in life? Back in Ephesians 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to who? The faithful in Christ Jesus. You know, it's one thing to start out well, but it's another thing to end well. Faithful. Is your car faithful? Well, if it didn't start one time this last week, you'd probably say, no, it left me stranded. If something is faithful, it's every time. Every time. You can count on it. Can Christ Jesus count on us to the faithful in Christ Jesus? Look with me, please, in Galatians 5. Not very far away here. Galatians 5, 7. The Galatians had a problem with this. Verse 7, Galatians 5, 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. They started out well, but someone turned them aside to false doctrine. There are three things that hinder us. Once we start out for Christ, there's three things that constantly try to trip us up. We find them in 1 John 2. 1 John 2. We have three enemies. 1 John 2, 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Remember we talked about the whole of life? The whole of life is to fear God and keep his commandments. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the what? Lust of the flesh. That is one of our enemies. And the lust of what? The eyes. That's number two enemy. And the what? Pride of life. That's number three. Is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so we need to recognize those three enemies and yield to Christ. Notice in James chapter 1 and verse 12. You know, there's a wonderful prize awaiting for those who do not yield to those things. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth what? Temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that what? Love him. So, do we love him? Do we love him? Is he the whole of our lives? Let's go back to Ephesians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. An apostle is a sent one. An apostle is a person with a mission. Our lives, every one of our lives is a mission from God. What specifically then are we to be doing? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. That is what each of us must discern from his word. The will of God. To the saints which are at Ephesus. That should be a name by which we are known. A holy people. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So many people in life start out at a point in time with Christ and start out right, start out with a zeal, a desire to know Christ and to live for him. But somewhere along the line, they get tripped up. Let's be part of that faithful group. And maybe I said in closing here, but if I could have us just turn to one other verse, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It will be worth it all when we see Christ. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we know that for each one of us, our lives are not some accident. They're not a mistake. Each of our lives is a mission for God. Lord, I pray that you would reveal to each of us what mission you want us to do. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, to have a name that would be descriptive of a life for Christ, that of saint. And I pray that all of our days we would be faithful, like the Ephesians, Paul referred to them, the faithful in Christ. Father, if there should be any here that are not saved today, I pray you'd help them to realize that Jesus is the pure and precious Son of God without sin, born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect life, and then died on the cross for each of our sins. He was buried and rose again in victory because his blood was sufficient to wash away our sins. I pray you'd help them to repent, to turn from sin, and to turn to Jesus and to receive him as Savior today. Please help us, Lord. We're on a mission. Help us not to get our eyes off you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.